Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, May 2nd, 2018. Again, May Day is a big time. There's a lot going on around this time. Bad guys, you know, plotting from behind the scenes, using mechanisms like communism, socialism, fascism, etc., really to impose greater and greater controls on people. And hopefully some of the quotes have illustrated that. I realize it's sort of an ad hoc collection, but I want to go from here in from the Red Pill Germany YouTube video clip that we played in the last hour. Karl Marx is a glorified hero in Merkel's Germany, published April 28th, to the, I guess, the sort of, you know, a peek behind the wizard's curtain as far as this conspiracy is concerned. So from the video, again, dividing people into fixed oppressor oppressed roles is one of the things that Marxism, communism is very effective at doing, you know, in ways that people don't realize, is which is really kind of interesting, you know. Suddenly people attach themselves to these identity groups. And, you know, now we have really sort of formalized the concept of identity politics in America. And, you know, people see stuff on 6 o'clock news and they hear these groups and they identify with these groups in ways, like Bertrand Russell wrote in The Impact of Science on Society, that they couldn't explain. They couldn't tell you where their beliefs come from or why, but they identify with certain really sound bites and slogans in Orwellian fashion. So I always think of Paulo Freire's Pedagogy of the Oppressed when this subject matter comes up, and specifically the subject of dehumanization from, and I've mentioned some of these quotes in the past, but from Pedagogy of the Oppressed, dehumanization, although a concrete historical fact, is not a given destiny, but the result of an unjust order that engenders violence in the oppressors, which in turn dehumanizes the oppressed. And, you know, continuing from chapter one, indeed, the interests of the oppressors lie in changing the consciousness of the oppressed, not the situation which oppresses them. To what? The oppressors who oppress, exploit, and rape by virtue of their power cannot in this power find the strength to liberate either the oppressed or themselves. And in that sense, it, again, it is sort of an addiction that feeds on itself, and loathsome as it is. But again, this is something that folks like Bertrand Russell have written about, how it desensitizes and dehumanizes the oppressor even. And they actually, as Bertrand Russell wrote in The Impact of Science on Society, they actually need greater and greater oppression as a thrill, which is very sick to think about. But continuing, the oppressed, instead of striving for liberation, tend themselves to become oppressors. They have no consciousness of themselves as persons or members of an oppressed class. The oppressed find in the oppressors their model of manhood, so to speak. Behavior of the oppressed is a prescribed behavior, following as it does the guidelines of the oppressor. And the oppressor, who is himself dehumanized because he dehumanizes others, is unable to lead this struggle. And so you kind of then you see, again, you know, speaking of Bertrand Russell, he was the one who wrote that it wasn't until Gandhi's passive or nonviolent resistance adopted the Christian ethic that it became successful. And again, I think you see that in efforts like Martin Luther King, particularly the anti-war sentiment. And again, you know, that April 4, 1968 speech beyond Vietnam, and, you know, just a resolute, a kind of steadfast, resolute, I've been a tool of the establishment, but no more. It's time for this to stop. And that, as Paulo Freire points out, in the oppressed, they can actually lead the struggle out, but only really in the context of the Christian ethic, if you will. It's the only way out. And again, we have to understand that we're fighting against the nature of mankind, so to speak. And that's what's so diabolically brilliant about all of this madness, is that man, the nature of mankind, the sinful fallen nature specifically, is weaponized against man, and man really against himself in this plot. And to me, the overarching concept again is Benjamin Franklin's words: only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. That's precisely what's intended. You go back to Pike's letter to Mazzini, Third World War specifically, you know, that letter that outlines three world wars. There hadn't been one before the letter, and it accurately predicts what has happened. You know, one of the most prophetic, fraudulent documents the world has ever seen. But the Third World War, as Pike allegedly wrote, must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of Islamic world. The war must be conducted in a way, in such a way that Islam, or political Islam, as I would say, Wahhabism, Salafism, Deobandism specifically, and political Zionism. And it's interesting, you look on the world stage, what countries today that were created in the 20th century most specifically identify or represent these two contrasting forces, political Islam and political Zionism? Saudi Arabia and Israel, respectively. British Saudi Arabia, British Israel. And what's also interesting, as I pointed out many times, if you go to even the Wikipedia entry for the UN Human Rights Council, points to so-called Israel and Saudi Arabia as the worst human rights violators on the planet. Even the evil UN Civil Rights Council points to these two countries as the worst offenders, the worst violators. So can you see these forces? And you see that there, you see it in the headlines every day. These forces are collided together, countries being drawn in, as Pike allegedly wrote. Continuing, he wrote, the war must be conducted in such a way that what I would call political Islam and political Zionism mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete moral, physical, and spiritual exhaustion. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and the most bloody turmoil. Then, everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries — who creates these revolutionaries, by the way? Operation Cyclone comes specifically to mind. Then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization, and the multitude, disillusioned with Christianity — but it's actually the counterfeit Christianity of the Union Jack in 1971, the prologue specifically, I think, outlines it very well — will exterminate those destroyers of civilization. The multitude, disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, Pike wrote, brought finally out into the public view. That this manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity. Again, it's the counterfeit. And atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. So we're going to destroy all of this stuff. And, you know, political Islam, political Zionism mutually destroy each other, Christianity and or counterfeit Christianity and atheism destroy each other. But the object is to eradicate from the world true Christianity so that you can introduce this deal. Do you see how deceptive man's nature, fallen nature specifically, is weaponized against him, and how the only way out, which is through Christ, is to be obfuscated, occluded, and eradicated from the earth. And, you know, that reminds me of Amos 8, 11, and 12, the famine coming to the land. But I digress. So from there, you know, back to the points from the video. And it's interesting, you know, he mentions it is a very clever lie, the way that he put it. It's a clever lie because it directly targets the hurt ego. And the envy of those people who walk through life with a chip on their shoulder, feeling entitled to success without actually applying themselves. And as we all know, the world is full of these people. It didn't used to be, though. The way that this society, the way that Western culture in America in particular is being conditioned, we're breeding these people. It's not by accident. Which leads me to the next excerpt from the video. They believe that they are oppressed by some invisible mechanism. And how did he put that? He said, Marx made use of these people insofar as he used them as a tool for his hatred and his envy. He made them believe that they are oppressed by some invisible mechanism that is never really specified. Well, no, because that's the hidden hand. Again, Ralph, I mean, the picture of Karl Marx, you know, always depicted with the hidden hand in the jacket, you know? That's why it's the invisible mechanism that's never really revealed or specified. That's the hidden hand. Hence, Ralph Epperson's book, The Unseen Hand, or Dan Smoot's book, The Invisible Government, or, again, as Edward Bernays put it in Propaganda, you know, our tastes are mold, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These people constitute the true ruling power. You know, this is the invisible government, Bernays wrote. And so you have all these mechanisms, but from whence and why? So back to Ralph Epperson's, and by the way, phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. Feel free to comment. From Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand, an introduction to the conspiratorial view of history. And it is history, you know, especially in the, again, sort of contemporary historical record, there is a conspiracy. The deeper you look, the more you realize that folks are pulling the strings from behind the scenes. I mentioned Edward Mandel House extensively yesterday, fairly extensively anyway. And again, how interesting it is, speaking of the unseen hand or the hidden hand, how I think absolutely astonishingly ironic it is, the Wikipedia entry for Edward Mandel House cites under C also the Federal Reserve, but nowhere is House mentioned on the Federal Reserve Wikipedia entry or vice versa. Is that not ironic? I mean, that to me really just is emblematic of said conspiracy, so to speak. But from chapter 8 of Ralph Epperson's book, The Unseen Hand, the chapter 8, The Secret Societies, backing up, yesterday I started further on, but I want to back up a little bit and go from the beginning. As I began, I was going to kind of glue some excerpts together, but I'll just back up a little bit. Author Arthur Edward Waite wrote, "Beneath the broad tide of human history, there flow the stealthy undercurrents of the secret societies, which frequently determine in the depths the changes that take place upon the surface." In the depths, they determine. That's from Arthur Waite's The Real History of the Rosicrucians, published back in 1977. British Prime Minister British Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli confirmed the above assertion about the control by the secret societies in the affairs of men when he wrote, "There is in Italy a power which we seldom mention in this House, the House of Parliament. I mean the secret societies. It is useless to deny, because it is impossible to conceal, that a great part of Europe, to say nothing of other countries, is covered with a network of these secret societies. What are their objects? They do not want constitutional government. They want to change the tenure of the land, to drive out the present owners of the soil, and to put an end to ecclesiastical establishments." And that is a quote that as cited in Nesta Webster's Secret Societies and Subversive Movements. Excuse me. And so Ralph Epperson writes, "Notice that the two goals of the secret societies, according to Disraeli, are the same as those of what is called organized communism, the abolition of private property and the end of the quote unquote ecclesiastical establishments, the religions of the world. Is it possible that so-called communism is in reality the tool of the secret societies? Is it realistic to believe that communism is controlled by forces above it in an organized hierarchy?" Ralph Epperson is setting us up, because this is one of those rhetorical questions. Today's version of history teaches that communism is the intended result of public demands for a change. In other words, it's an end, but it's not. Today's version of history teaches that communism is the intended result of public demands for a change in the organization of their society, usually through revolutionary action that overthrows the old system. Is it possible that these revolutions are in reality the machinations of the secret societies seeking to communize the world after the revolution? And again, further on, Ralph Epperson cites Zbigniew Brzezinski's mention of the fact that just below the revolutionary line, and as Hayek points out in The Road to Serfdom, socialism is the constant remaking after the revolution. So you have these forces now that have been so scientifically refined and are so militarily precise that it's this constant remaking, as Alan Watt has pointed out on numerous occasions. Things are moving so fast now. It used to take 100 years ago or plus, you know, it used to take a generation, about 25 years, to implement any kind of incremental change. Now, because of how eviscerated society is, how absolutely gutted all of our moorings and traditions and things are, you know, and the way that social media works, which, again, we need to play Jaron Lanier's TED Talk on this, because he says it's a control mechanism. It is the ultimate scientifically refined, militarily precise outworking of, you know, the Skinnerian operant conditioning model, so to speak. Or, and I think he might mention Norbert Wiener and cybernetic, you know, what I would call a cybernetic totalist sort of model. Hopefully that makes sense and is not too much. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Hey folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Let me put it a different way. You know, we just had Jonathan Scruggs from the ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom, on last Wednesday. And, you know, at one point we discussed how it's interesting that, you know, there's this all of this kind of what I would call cultural Marxist, but, you know, the Red Pill Germany video makes a good point. We just call it Marxism. Cultural Marxists and social justice warriors are clamoring that, you know, it's hate speech if I'm not tolerant and acceptant of views that I disagree with. And it's interesting, you know, I mentioned, it seems like as long as your talking points are of a certain variety or a certain flavor, then these people, you know, are fine with that. And basically, again, getting back to the death cult ideology discussion in that ongoing series, you'll notice that as long as your talking points are of a death cult ideological nature, then they're fine. These people, again, in the fashion that Nesta Webster pointed out, they've been weaponized against themselves, and they don't realize it. And it is truly, as she wrote, it is difficult to speak of these things calmly, for to deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them seeing whether they're being led is as cowardly as to guide a blind man into a ditch, as Nesta Webster wrote. But that's precisely what's happening. So, you know, as long as I think that homosexuality is great and abortion isn't murder, which it is, and all of these other things that, you know, we get all this, our minds twisted around, as long as I extol the virtues of the death cult ideology, then these people who have been conned and weaponized against themselves say, good job, you know, we applaud you. But the minute I say, you know what, I disagree, I think murder is murder, I think homosexuality is, you know, something I don't just disagree with. I think it's another thing that's been weaponized against people and weaponizing them against themselves. Read the Jaffe memo, for instance. And furthermore, Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger. I mean, all of those things all go together. And you have the Malthusians and the eugenicists and these people. You know, Lord Acton said power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And you'll notice, again, this is it's kind of an addiction that feeds on itself. And these people that are doing bad things tend to try to hedge and insulate themselves more and more. Why? Because when you're doing bad things like that, well, you should expect people to be upset with you. Versus the Jeffersonian concept. You know, again, you know, Jefferson in his letter to Samuel Kercheval, 1816, you know, the way that Jefferson put it, he said, I am not among those who fear the people. Actually, he wrote, they and not the rich are our dependents for continued freedom. And to preserve their independence, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt, which is interesting from a guy with an aristocratic background. This, I believe, was the sentiment that got Bobby Kennedy killed. You know, I think he was becoming a crusader, a man of the people. And I mentioned it yesterday. I'll mention it again. The Netflix four-part series, Bobby Kennedy for President, is great. I encourage folks to watch it. Part four, I think, is particularly provocative in that it makes it pretty clear without saying it that something is rotten in Denmark. And it's pretty, you know, why would you destroy a mountain of evidence, including thousands of crime scene photos? Why would you do that? And we always see this happening. You know, you see the same thing. And it's real interesting, I think, coming forward to today, they did a great job, the makers of that series, in sort of framing the sound bites and the same stuff as, you know, it's the same thing that we see. Even today, I'm reminded, for example, of the destruction of, you know, the Ambassador Hotel is gone now. But, you know, in the early days, the crime scene was altered in the same fashion that we see, you know, the Sutherland Springs Church destroyed. They call for that 2 days later. And Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, you know, the building being destroyed, building in question. Same kind of thing. Same, same old, same old. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better.
Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Welcome back. A couple of quick things and we'll go to the phones. Speaking of Bobby Kennedy, there are folks who speculated that after he was assassinated, Ted Kennedy was the only – well, was kind of someone who would be assured of the Democratic nomination – and probably the White House. And, you know, as some have speculated, the wounds were too fresh at that point. And, but what happened a year later? That's kind of an interesting subplot, the Chappaquiddick incident, which basically ensured that, you know, Teddy would never run for the White House anyway. And instead, you know, in 68, America got Tricky Dick Nixon, and you know, let me make one thing perfectly clear: I am not a crook. Anyway, so Chapter 8, Secret Societies. Ralph Epperson writes, "Communism is never spontaneous." Actually, it's an excerpt from Robert Welch's What is Communism? Communism is never spontaneous or ever willing or even willing rising up of downtrodden masses against the bosses who exploit them, but exactly the opposite. It's always imposed upon on a people from the top down by bosses who are seeking to increase their power. All the agitation at the bottom is stirred up, built up, financed, and controlled by the insiders at the top to give themselves the means and the excuse for seizing more power, always under the guise of stopping or preventing these revolutionary activities among the masses at the bottom. And again, enter color revolution, you know, guys like Gene Sharp and Serdapopovic admitting, hey, you thought this stuff was happening. These are spontaneous uprisings, but it never is. So skipping forward, Ralph Epperson writes, so the preceding commentators are correct in their charges that communism is a front for secret societies, including the Illuminati. It behooves the student of the conspiratorial view to examine the origins of and history of this organization. The Illuminati was founded on May Day, 1776 by Adam Weishaupt, Jesuit priest and a professor of canon law at Ingolstadt University, which reminds me of, John Adams' dissertation on the canon and feudal law. In Bavaria, today part of Germany, there's some evidence that Professor Weishaupt had become affiliated with secret societies before he founded the Illuminati. The founding date of May 1 is still celebrated by communists around the world as May Day, although the purists claim that May Day is celebrated because that was the beginning date for the Russian Revolution in 1905. But this doesn't change the date of May 1. 1905 is an anniversary of the founding of the Illuminati on May 1, 1776. We'll leave it there for now, and hopefully that sort of ties things together a little bit. Let's go to the phones and grab Dave in Wisconsin. Dave, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris, I'm really thankful that you played that that video. Audio-video, because that really does describe how immensely popular Karl Marx is to a certain segment, a large segment of people. And I think it's instructive of his early history. You see, his early history, and Richard Wurmbrand wrote a book called Marx and Satan, that describes his life well. So Karl Marx, in his early life, he embraced Christ, and he was wrote prose that was extremely, extremely impressive about his respect and adoration of Christ. And yeah. But when he got to what we now know as college, at that level of study, he started to study the ancient pagan philosophers, primarily the Greeks. In the book of communism traces back through two books, the Laws and the Republic by Plato. And those two combined, especially the Republic, though, are the blueprints that the socialists, whether they be what are now called Nazis, which is a pejorative for National Socialist, or Communist Socialist, or British Fabian Socialist, that they're the blueprint that is studied for them coming to the conclusion that this ultimate utopia is a good goal to work and kill for, and yeah. It isn't. But nevertheless, that's important because see, when he did get to that level of study, he became a binge drunk, and his close classmate friends gave him the nickname Destroy. So that's the personality that they recognized in him after he became apostate from Christianity, and so that history is real important. And one final point about him is when he went as a secret agent man and lived in France for a while, his code name was Rambo's, R-A-M-B-O-Z. And, of course, that movie here that came out in the early 80s that was so detrimental and caused such tension called Rambo, obviously was derived from that. But I really thank you for airing that because it does. It's very, that man is very prescient about what he said.
I think so, too, and I think that it was also important to add the bit at the end, you know, when he says they believe that they're oppressed by some invisible mechanism. Well, it's important to speak to that, too. I mean, that would be maybe one of the only pieces that I would say needs to be added to the video, because there obviously are forces. And
not only added to the video, but emphasized, because, sure. See, that's the effort in finding remedy. That's what sometime in a situation where we're in, where we have to weigh every thought and measure every word, those are the kinds of things that sometimes are left unsaid that need to be said. And I even think with that quote from Benjamin Franklin that you quoted there, there's a possible modus vivendi within that quote where toward the end of that quote, where he says there is a need for more masters. And, you know, for example, why do we give that territory, those accolades over to the enemy by default? I mean, for example, I'm not a big fan of John Stadtmiller, but I do respect his endurance and tenacity and firmness. And for example, I would have no problem. I would have no objection to declaring, if I had the authority or any recognition at all, of being the most tenacious and persevering radio host in Patriot Radio, the master of that. I would have no problem with that. As a place where we can begin to some kind of a modus vivendi of recognizing one another for our great efforts at stopping this sea of madness and violence and death everywhere. So, anyway, glad you played that. Very thankful.
Yeah, I appreciate you sending it over. And, you know, again, just to kind of speak to the, I don't know, hidden hand. And again, it's interesting, you know, you have all of these guys, especially in contemporary history, depicted with that hidden hand. You know, you think of pictures like Karl Marx. I mean, all of the Marxist communist folks have one of the grand images of them portrayed is the hidden hand portrait. You know, Marx, Stalin, Mao, guys like that. All depicted with the hidden hand. But, you know, from Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand, Chapter 8, The Secret Societies, you know, on this issue of communism, one Communist Party member, Dr. Bella Dodd, a very renowned member, a member of the National Committee of the Communist Party of the United States, apparently decided that there was indeed a connection between wealthy, quote-unquote, capitalists and the party, the Communist Party. She noticed that every time the National Committee couldn't reach a decision, one of their members would leave, go to the Waldorf Towers in New York City, and meet with a particular individual later identified as Arthur Goldsmith. Dr. Dodd observed that every time Mr. Goldsmith made a decision, it was later confirmed by the Communist Party in Moscow. But what truly amazed Dr. Dodd was that Mr. Goldsmith was not only a member of the Communist Party, but an extremely wealthy American capitalist, quote-unquote, which takes me right back to John Spivak's lucid observations in Wall Street's Fascist Conspiracy. Same thing. These are all just tools. So don't be a tool, right? Thanks, Dave. I appreciate your call. And I appreciate the heads up on the video. I think it fit in nicely. And, you know, the references to the law and the republic, that's, you know, also a good nod. They Platonic, Socratic nonsense. Let's go back to the phones and grab Renee in North Carolina. Renee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Who was that guy that, that clip? Who was that?
It's the YouTube channel Red Pill Germany.
Oh, my God. I was kind of horrified.
yeah.
It's like, you know, he's talking about his three things, okay? And he goes, well, we use welfare, but I don't recommend that. Or you can let him die off. I'm thinking, isn't that just so pro-life? You know,
it is an interesting little soundbite there, isn't it?
Have a miserable life starving to death. You know what I mean?
It is kind of an interesting little soundbite there.
You know, didn't Jesus say, what you do for the least of you, you do for me? You know, somehow,
yeah.
And the thing is, the problem is, I don't think this has anything to do with communism. You know, isn't our, like, capitalist Christian military, this is exactly what they're doing. They don't even have to use a bullet. Let's see, we go around the world. We continue to deplete other people's resources to kind of speed up the process, you know, of this miserable life and this slow starvation, okay? That's what our Christian capitalist country military death cult ideology is actually doing. You see, so the thing is, if we're going to have a fair discussion, see, I was Republican, but I'm an independent now, and I don't do that right-left thing. The thing is, let's look at also what's wrong with capitalism, how it uses fear of survival to scare the bejesus out of people in order to motivate them to work harder and often lie or do dishonest things in their profession. See, I agree with George Carlin on this. You know how they have to scare the hell out of the middle class. But you see, the parts of the middle class, not all of them, who are involved in government and professional classes are the house slaves who actually, out of fear of becoming a poor field slave, often do many immoral things in order to keep their position higher and more comfortably on the pecking order, okay? So the thing is, I don't like just discussing the good on one side and the bad on the other. I like to, because it just keeps us divided. We have to fairly look at it, what's good and bad of both systems, or it's just intellectually dishonest. You know, I mean, I find it appalling that the people who think they're the moral pro-lifers think that, yeah, it's a reasonable thing, you know, by accident or birth, that kid could be a great, fabulous person. But he was born to dumb parents, so if he slowly just has a miserable life starving to death, well, it is his misfortune. I'm kind of appalled by this. You know? And it's amazing how people just, you know, they say you see what you want to see and you don't see what you don't want to see. And the thing is, because both systems can be good and evil. Because actually, Libya, without robbing to Peter to pay Paul, taking it from anybody else, the fruits of their labor, Gaddafi was a moral man running a successful socialist country that did not rob Peter to pay Paul and take the fruits of somebody else's labor, gave them free farmland and helped them with farming. And we know anybody that's listened to the Moriartys or seen, like Ken O'Keefe has a video on YouTube all about how the reality of Libya. And it is our supposedly moral Christian capitalist country that went and, from what I've heard, stole their gold and have bombed them and ruined their lives. So the thing is, I'm just pointing this out because you can't just say, oh, this ism good, that ism bad, because it kind of depends if you know, like,
right,
there's that famous
Let me stop you there for a second. Are you trying to say, see, this is where we always run into problems. Are you trying to say that's what I'm implying on this broadcast? That one no, ism is good and one ism
that,
is bad.
That thing you play, he absolutely, I have issue with some of the stuff he said. I just cannot sit there and watch babies
that
slowly
doesn't answer my question,
starve
though,
to death.
And I would like a specific answer to my question when we come back. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. And I'm just curious, Renee, are you implying that this broadcast doesn't deal fairly on the isms, and that I'm basically suggesting that one ism is good and one is not?
Well, I basically hear more criticism of anything that would be considered, quote, left, and I do not hear as much anywhere in this type of radio of the problems with the right, because I'm saying there's good and evil on both sides.
Well, here's let me just make it real clear. The entire subject matter of this broadcast and yesterday in particular deal with the fact that the whole right-left paradigm is a fabrication, for starters. And like I said, this gets to the heart of these things being tools. I keep mentioning John Spivak's article series, Wall Street's Fascist Conspiracy, and he does a good job of pointing out these are all tools. I said it earlier. Fascism, communism, socialism, they're all weapons. Capitalism,
yes, you did.
Is,
I heard that part. I like that part.
Capitalism is unique. I just mentioned before you came on, you know, I was talking to Dave in Wisconsin, you know, the quote about Bella Dodd and her noticing that Arthur Goldsmith was, you know, consulting, and he is not just a Communist Party member, but also an American capitalist. The problem with the issue of capitalism, though, you know, and we're dealing in generalities when we should be talking specifics and nuances. Capitalism is different. I would say what we refer to generally in this society as capitalism is more specifically Fordism or crony capitalism, which is difficult to argue. The system of free enterprise, if you see a need and fill it, that to me is a noble pursuit. And to your point about the middle class sort of, you know, being what I would call conscripted to evil for, you know, to try to maintain their position in middle class is a valid observation. But again, a kind of, I would say, an oversimplification. And I've mentioned several folks who have pointed out that this system of inflation creates that sort of condition because of the evisceration of wealth over time by the invisible tax of inflation. And there's no safe store of wealth in a system where we have the inflation that we have because of the specious currency the Federal Reserve is responsible for. But that is all part of the insidious nature of this crony capitalist or Fordist system. And so the problem I think we run into is now we're out of time and we're dealing in generalities when we should get into specifics. Anyway, I hope that you have actually said in the past that this is one of the – I mean, we play clips from the Young Turks and Jimmy Dore, Democracy Now. I'm not trying to promote a particular ideological view other than freedom and liberty in the minds of the people. And like Jefferson said, the general diffusion of knowledge in hopes of freedom and peace and true prosperity. Hopefully that makes sense. Anyway, I appreciate your call, Renee. I hope we got that cleared up, folks. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. And we'll catch you on the other side.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.